So we'll sing this little bit of what we sang last night, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. But we'll sing it the same raga we did last night, which is called Kalavati Raga. Kalavati is the name for Radharani, who's the greatest singer, greatest dancer. And it's also, it's an Orishan raga. It's a raga for this time of day, but the arrangement's a little different. We sing Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, Jai Vrindavan. Twice we sing Jai Vrindavan. And then I'll, in between each set of lines, I'll sing a little something about myself. We'll just sing a couple lines. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Jaya Vrindavan. Jaya Radhe,
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Jaya Vrindavan.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya
Jaya Mahabhagavan, 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 J
Jachi adile kakola kahe premananda emona goranga vidoya dariya kola
goranga ka goranga
aha gorange
namare jejana goranga vade
se
hoyamara pranade
je Vidana Paramapumata Tismai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Kadachit Kalindita Tavipina Sangita Karavo Naviri nari vadana kamalasvadama dupa Brahma shambhu brahma madhapati ganesha chitapada Jagannatha swami nayana patagami bhavatu me
Jagannatha swami nayana patagami
Jay Savi Venam Sirasi Siki Puchang Katitante Dukulam Metrante Sahacharika Taksham Vidadate Sada Srimad Brinda Banabasati Lila Parichayo Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Vadatu Me.
Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Vadatu Me.
Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Vadatu Me. Kadachit ka vindita tavipina sangita kadavu. Sometimes, in great happiness, Lord Jagannath, he makes a loud concert with his flute in the groves and the banks of the Jamuna. He's like a bumblebee tasting the beautiful lotus-like faces of the gopis of Braj. And great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Ganesh worship his lotus feet. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. In his left hand, Lord Jagannath holds a flute. On his head, he wears peacock feathers. And on his hips, he wears fine yellow silken cloth. From the corners of his eyes, he bestows sidelong glances upon his loving devotees. And Sada Vrindavana Basati Lila Parichayo. He's always residing in Vrindavan, where he reveals himself as one of his pastimes there. May that Jagannath Swami be the constant object of my vision. Dilachalani Vasaya Ichaya Paramatmane Alabhadra Subhadra Pyam Jagannathaya Te Namaha Panchakopadurubhishcha Vipashyandubhyayevacha Pakitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. How many of you here, it's the first time you've attended our yatra in Puri? Raise your hand. So, we have certain things we'd like to say about Puri. And actually, we've written quite a few things about Puri, made a number of magazines. Highly recommended that you see. Because we're not going to try to speak about everything tonight. We'd like to try to do that. But I really don't like speaking like this. Maybe there's no really in between. This is good right now? Is this okay? Okay, I have an allergy to the loud part. Okay, this is all right in the background? Donna Kelly, you all right? All right. So somehow, out of some good fortune, in 1993, we came to Jagannath Puri, to Bhubaneswar, and we heard many kathas from our revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhargavendra Swami Maharaj. And we were very astonished. Although I always had some appreciation somehow for Lord Jagannath, I was Jagannath Pujari in Los Angeles for some time. I was also Bhakti leader and book distributor and some things. But we heard him saying many, many things which are very amazing, things we'd never heard from anyone before. And we've tried over the years to write some things about that. And I don't know, we've made 5 or 6 magazines about Puri or things connected with Puri now. I'd like to try to speak something about some of that today. Jagannath Puri Dham is described in the Skanda Purana. Rahasyam etat paramam Vishnu sthanam anuttamam. At this place is sthanam anuttamam. It's the most excellent place, but rahasyam etat paramam Vishnu. It's a very, very confidential place. It's a very, very mysterious place. What is the nature of Jagannath Puri Dham? And there's different opinions amongst different persons. Some people, they say that this place is like Dwarka or like Vaikuntha. And there's many, many evidences to support that. Other people say, no, it's like Ayodhya. Some people say that it's like Vrindavan or it's like Kurukshetra. We'd like to explore a little something about this today through some of the things we've heard from our Guru Maharaj and some of the things that he sent us in different ways. Jagannath Puri Dham is known by many different names. It's known as Gupta Dham. Gupta means a very hidden place. It's one of his names is Durlabha Kshetra, which means a very difficult place to enter into. Another name is Dasavatar Kshetra. It's a place of 10 incarnations. That in and of itself is a very interesting point, and a very thoughtful point. 10 incarnations manifest here. I won't go any further than that. This place is known as Parama Pavana, supremely purifying. Another name for it is Uchista Kshetra. It's a place of remnants, or Mahaprasad. It's known as Kaivalya Kshetra. For that place, you can get liberation very easily just by eating. It's known as Guhya Kshetra. Well, similar to Gupta Dham, a very hidden place. It's known as Nitya Vaikuntha. It's known as Yamanaika Kshetra. Yamanaika Kshetra means the place where Yamaraj is not allowed. And it's known as Sri Kshetra. Well, as we explain that today, very important discussion that we had, I'd like to build on that discussion we had at the Gambira today. Very many, many deep things for devotees to try to digest. Actually, I'm going to try to build on that today and tomorrow. The meaning of Sri Kshetra and how Sri Kshetra indicates the place where Srimati Radharani's presence is felt everywhere. So, how do we understand this place? As we mentioned, many people, they say that this place is like Dwarka or like Mathura. And there's some strong evidences to support that. Some people, they say that just as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never leaves Navadvip or Mayapur. I've heard a number of devotees speak like that. And there's a number of very interesting pramanas to support that idea. Is it true, first of all, that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan? How many of you would say that's true? Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Okay. Well, I read a book called Krishna Book. And there's a chapter in there. There's some fellow named Apura. Okay. And it's very clear. He took Krishna away from Vrindavan. So how do we understand that? That's a very big subject. Sometimes we give a whole seminar and how we understand that Krishna never left Vrindavan. I think we know about four different explanations how it is that he never left. One simple explanation, not maybe so simple, but one explanation given by our acharyas, by Srila Prabhupada in his purports in the 10th canto, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries, Baladeva Vibhushan says it, Swami says it, and that is that Krishna is actually born in Vrindavan as the son of Yashoda. But you may say, but in Krishna book, Prabhupada says that Krishna was born in Mathura as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Actually, it doesn't say that he was born there. There's two things. There's a janma and there's an avirbhav. If a baby is born, that's a janma. And you hear the sound of the baby crying and an umbilical cord is cut and it's very sweet. It touches everyone's heart. There's a baby born in the next room right now. Everyone's going to feel a very special thing. Avirbhav is something else. Avirbhav is when everyone's sitting here and all of a sudden in the middle of us, boom, there's a puff of smoke and someone appears in the middle of everything. And it's quite an astonishing thing. So Krishna made his avirbhav, his appearance in Mathura In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he cites some different pramanas to support that actually there were two babies. And it was Vasudeva Krishna, his expansion, his Vishnu expansion, who appeared in the prison of Kamsa. And as I sometimes like to comment, it was a good thing that he wasn't born of Devaki. For ladies here who have children who've given birth, could you imagine giving birth to a child who has a chakra in one hand, and a club in another hand, and a helmet on his head? It would be quite an experience, I think. Anyway, he appeared there in the prison in his forearm form. And we know the story, how by the Yogamaya potency, everyone went to sleep. And then Vasudev carried the child Vasudev across the Jamuna River, Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu. He says that Vasudev followed a golden jackal, who was a manifestation of Yogamaya. And he followed her across the Jamuna River. And he went to the home of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. And Krishna had just taken birth. And it was an amazing birth. It was such a gentle birth that Yashoda didn't wake up. And they were actually twins. There was Yogamaya, and there was Nanda Nandan Swayam Rup Govinda Krishna. And by the potency of Yogamaya, Vasudev couldn't see that baby Krishna laying there in the bed. And so he placed Vasudev Krishna down in the bed, and Vasudev Krishna entered into the body of Nanda Nandan Krishna. And for 16 full years, he was in the body of Nanda Nandan Krishna. It's a long discussion. It's a whole other class, actually. But there's an interesting discussion between Parvati and Shiva. When Parvati heard about this, she said, excuse me, because Parvati, she's a very romantic young girl. She said, as every romantic girl knows, that two is company and three is a crowd. How is it that Radha and Krishna are together? That's very sweet and nice, but then Vasudeva Krishna's also there? And Lord Shiva says, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. He says that Krishna has two potencies, Karshati and Stapati, and that whenever Radha and Krishna came together, one of these potencies would grab Vasudeva Krishna and pull him out of the body of Nanda Krishna and take him up in the air. I don't know if anybody actually saw that or how it worked, but anyway, that's what it said. And then when the pastime finished, and Radha and Krishna were separated, then he would be pulled back into the body of Krishna. And this went on like, kind of like a rubber band, I guess, back and forth for 16 full years while Krishna was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada comments sometimes that it was Vasudeva Krishna who killed all the demons in Braj. It wasn't Krishna, Nandanandan Krishna, with the exception of two demons, Shankachuda and Kaliya. And again, that's another separate discussion. Krishna personally dealt with those two demons. He killed Shankachuda and he dealt with Kaliya. And why Krishna personally dealt with those two demons, that's a whole other discussion in those two pastimes. But for those 16 full years, Vasudeva Krishna... Excuse me? Can someone repeat?
Krishna was 16 when he left for Mathura?
That's what some people say. There's different ages given. So, some people say then that just as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so similarly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never leaves Navadvip. And that when Krishna seems to leave Vrindavan, he actually stays. That's another long discussion. Our Guru Maharaj speaks something about that in the Embankment of Separation. And there's different explanations, as I said. One get explanations given in Lalita Madhav. One explanation is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in some of his purports. A third explanation is given in a kind of hidden way by our Goswamis. And Gaudiya Maharaj explains this, that Krishna entered into the heart of Radha. In any case, Vrindavana Parityaga Parikam Nagachati. Krishna never takes even one step outside of Vrindavan. It's Vasudev Krishna who goes outside of Vrindavan. And so similarly, some say that it's a Vasudev expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who leaves Navadvip and comes here to Puri. And so that this place is like Mathura or Dwarka. Okay? Now here's a little bit harder question, not so difficult. When Krishna went to Mathura, where did he stay? He didn't stay in MVT. Okay? There's no MVT. Then where did he stay when he went to Mathura? Does anybody know?
In the family.
He stayed, I'll give you a little hint. He stayed in the house of one young lady. He gave her some chiropractic help. He stayed in the house of Pubja. Okay? So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Puri, where did he stay? He stayed in Kashi Mishra Bhavan. Initially, he stayed for a little while in the house of Vasudev Sarvabhauma, Bhattacharya. And to this day, there's a tunnel that goes from Sarvabhauma's house to the Jagannath Mandir. They say, I've been inside that tunnel. It doesn't actually go anywhere anymore. It's filled with sand, but perhaps one day before they filled it, perhaps previously it did. So who is... let's go back a little bit. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves Navadvip, who takes him away from Navadvip? No. Who takes him away? There's a fellow, his name is Keshava Bharati. He gives Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyas. So, who is Keshava Bharati in Krishna Lila? Kavi Karnapuri says, iti kechit prabhasante akura, Keshava Bharati. The Keshava Bharati is akura. Akura is a person who took Krishna away from Vrindavan. So that same akura came again in Gaura Lila as Keshava Bharati and took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu away from Navadvipa by giving him sannyas. When Krishna goes to Mathura, he stays in the house of Pugja. When he comes, Mahaprabhu comes to Puri, he stays in the house of Kashi Mishra. Who is Kashi Mishra in Krishna Lila? Kavi Karnapur says, Mathurayam Parayasit Sairindri. Sairindri Krishna Vallabha Sajanilachalava Sa Kashi Mishra Prabha Priya. That Kashi Mishra in Krishna Lila is Kubja. So, oftentimes we tell devotees, we explain this, so that's our answer. And Jagannath Puri is like Mathura. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes here, he's just an expansion. And the original Mahaprabhu stays in Navadvip. And that's the end of our katha. Okay? Is everybody okay with that? Is anybody not satisfied? But most of the devotees are satisfied. They didn't raise their hands. So. Okay, if you're not satisfied, why not? Okay. Yeah, Vasudev Krishna, Vasudev Garanga, if you want to call him that, he's trying to taste Radharani's mood. What is that? And many questions arise, actually. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were mentioning in the Gambhira today something about Mahaprabhu's ecstasies and how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says those ecstasies have never been seen anywhere before. They've never been heard in any shastra. They're not found in Navadvipa. They're not found in Vrindavan. But they're found here. Here in Sri Khetra Dham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was having darshan of Lord Jagannath, he melted the stone under his feet. For those of you who can go in the Jagannath Mandir, you've seen. They have a special place for his footprints. And if you go to the Garuda Stamba, there's three fingerprints where Mahaprabhu also melted the stone with his two places. And then if you go to Brahmagiri Alarnath, we haven't been in a few years with this group, but you'll find there's a stone there where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laid down, he was rolling. That's why the stone has a funny imprint on it. But he melted the whole stone imprint of his body, his entire body there, in Brahmagiri Alarnath. How many stones did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melt in Navadvip? How many stones did he melt in Vrindavan? We know Krishna melted quite a few stones. But I don't know of any stones that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melted in Navadvip. If we want to understand a place, we should understand what pastimes the Lord performs there, what is the Lord relishing there. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that this place He relished something unheard of. He relished Radha Bhav. What is the mood of Radha? In the Garga Sanhita is a description when the devatas, they came to Krishna and they said, look, we got problems. All these demons down here, you got to come and help us. And Krishna said, definitely, I'm going to go kill all the demons. And the demigods left, and then Radha and Krishna had a little private discussion. And Krishna asked Radharani, why are you so quiet? And Radharani, she said, well, anyway, you're independent, you can do whatever you want. Krishna said, come on, tell me, well, what's the problem? Radharani said, you want to go, you go, but I'm going to die. I'm just telling you, if I don't have your association, I'm going to die without you. And Krishna said, no, you'll come also. And Radharani said, forget it. And what did she say? Yatra Vrindavanam nasti, yatra no Govardhan nasti, yatra no Jamana nadi, tatra me namana sukh. I have no happiness, mark it, where these three things are not found. The Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, and the Vrindavan Forest. Those three things are necessary, as Maharaj was speaking this morning. They're called Udipana. They're something which give rise to divine ecstasy. It's not that Radharani decides, well, maybe this week I'll go to Paris. Or I'll go to New York. No, Radharani never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna might leave Vrindavan. We're not really sure. There's rumors. But Radharani? Radharani would never leave Vrindavan. And my revered spiritual master, he said that if you want to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to understand Srimati Radharani. Because he's come in the mood of Radha. So, if you're going to study which dham Mahaprabhu stayed in, then this verse that we spoke is very relevant. If Radharani's mood is yatra Vrindavanam nasti, yatra no, which she has no manasukh, no happiness, where the Vrindavan Forest, Jamuna River, and Govardhan Hill are not found, then why did she come here? We were mentioning a little something this morning. I think I got sidetracked from it. In the Chaitanya Mangal, Lachandas Thakur says that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation in Gaya, I think I told a little mistake this morning, he immediately wanted to go to Vrindavan. And there was an Akashvani, a voice in the sky saying, don't go now. And so he came back to Navadvipa. We mentioned that, and we mentioned why we don't worship him as a sannyasi. And what I forgot to mention also is that after he took sannyas, immediately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached Keshava Bharati and said, Guru Maharaj, can I go now to Jagannath Puri? This was his mood after taking sannyas. He wants to go very much to Vrindavan. He's always wanting to go to Vrindavan. Once, it's a little bit of a long story. I was telling Shashapu the other day that I was asked to give a Bhagavatam class once in Vrindavan, the temple, during Kartik month. And that's a little bit of an uncomfortable thing for a young devotee like me, because there's so many senior devotees there during the month of Kartik. So I carefully prepared. And I came the next morning just before class, about 5 minutes before class, and I arrived and I saw Satchinandan Maharaj was there and two or three other sannyasis. I was thinking, great. Anyway, I prepared something. Then I looked at the verse, the verse on the board, and I prepared for the wrong verse. So, first thing I did, I went to Satchinanda Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, you should give the class. You're a sannyasi. I just said, why should I? And Maharaj said, no, you give the class. And I said, well, Maharaj, actually, I prepared for the wrong verse. And so I swear that I heard him say something. Later he told me he didn't say it, but I swear I heard him say, you should just speak something about Jagannath Puri. Okay. So I'm used to that. So I sat down and we spoke some things about Puri. And it went really good. Everybody really liked it. But there was one person, he wasn't there in the class. He was listening on the radio upstairs in his room. And when the class finished, all of a sudden this devotee came running into the room real quick, raised his hand very quick. You may have heard him. His name is Ayendra. And he wasn't really happy. Because of some of the things I was saying about Puri. He said, how can you say that about Puri? It says in, I have somewhere here in my notes. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri, to go to Vrindavan, as soon as he left, his ecstasy increased 100 times. And when he entered Mathura, it increased 1,000 times more than that. And when he entered into Vrindavan, it increased 100,000 times more than that. So, I said, yes, that's very good. I said, but why didn't he stay in Vrindavan? And why is it that our acharyas say that his 3 desires were fulfilled in Jagannath Puri and not in Vrindavan? It's a little bit of a postgraduate kind of question. I don't know if anybody here would know the answer. Does anybody know where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Vrindavan when he was there?
First, he was living in Imlitala.
Very good. Did you say the same? What were you going to say? No. Oh, he was staying at Kurugat for some time. It's true, too. But he was staying in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's favorite place, also humbly one of my favorite places, and I'll explain why, in Vrindavan, which is known as Imlitala, the tamarind tree. And what is special about that place, for many of you, you may know that pastime, very special pastime. On one occasion, Krishna was doing Rasleela with the gopis at Vamsivat, and Srimati Radharani became sulky. As we've commented hundreds of times probably giving this katha, there's a reason why she was sulky, and it's a long explanation. But anyway, she left the Rasleela. And for Krishna, if there's no Radharani, there's no Rasleela. One of her names is Rasa Biharani. She's a heroine of the Rasleela. There's no question of having a Rasleela without Radharani. So Krishna became mad in separation. And he started searching through all the forests on the bank of the Jamuna for Radharani. And he was going everywhere and crying out, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And finally he sat down underneath a tamarind tree at Imlitala and began crying, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And an amazing thing happened. That Shamsundar Krishna, who has a complexion, a blackish complexion, he suddenly became like Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. His complexion changed to that of Radha because he was meditating so deeply on Radha. So when that same Krishna came again to Vrindavan 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the same place, only now things are a little different. Now he's in the mood of Radha. And why does he want to go so much to Vrindavan? Certainly not for sightseeing. He wants to go to Vrindavan because he wants to fulfill the desires that Radharani has. He wants to see Krishna. He wants to have union again with Krishna. So he's in the mood of Radha this time. And he sits down underneath that tamarind tree and he starts chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he became so absorbed, an amazing thing happened. That Gaurasundar, his golden complexion changed, and Gaurasundar became Shamasundar. He became blackish. And he thought, this is very bad. The next thing, a peacock feather is going to come, and then the vamsi, my flute, and I won't be able to relish Radhabhav. It's a very, very deep, very, very esoteric point. Try to understand, because Vrindavan Dham is the place of Milan, the place of union. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can't help himself, even though he's in the mood of Radha, because Radharani's mood is so powerful, Krishna can't hide from Radha. He can't hide from himself. And all of a sudden he appears as Krishna in Vrindavan Dham. So he wasn't able to fulfill those 3 desires, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidvi Sovanayaiva, what is the nature of Radharani's love, what is the happiness that she gets from that love, and what is it that she sees in me, those 3 desires, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 1 verse 6, he wasn't able to fulfill those 3 desires for which he came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. So there's a great paradox. To fulfill his desire, He had to be in Vrindavan. Because it's not possible to taste Radha Bhav, as we were making a little joke, in New York or in Moscow or some other place. It has to be in Vrindavan. But it can't be in Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is a place of union. And in particular, he wants to taste the greatest ecstasy of Radha. We were speaking something about that today in the Gambira. He wants to taste that ecstasy of Radha in separation. So he had to go to a place which is two opposites in one container. A place which is Vrindavan, but it's not Vrindavan. And so where did he go? He came back to Jagannath Puri Dham. And he stayed here and for 18 full years in the Gambira. And it was here that he fulfilled his different desires. And there are many, many different pramanas to support this thing that Jagannath Puri Dham is Gupta Vrindavan, is a hidden chamber of Vrindavan. Just as we were mentioning earlier, Srila Prabhupada, he writes in one purport, let's see if I can find it, he says, living in Jagannath Puri, this is his purport to Madhyalila chapter 22, text 132, living in Jagannath Puri is as good as living in Vrindavan. The conclusion is that Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, and Vrindavan Dham are identical. This is Srila Prabhupada's statement. Another very powerful statement from Prabhupada about this Dham is there in Madhyalila chapter 16, text 281, purport. The eternal Brajvasis, like Srup Damodar, did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. And then he gives a long list of names. Just listen. Sri Pundrik Vidyaniti, Sri Haridas Thakur, Sri Vas Pandit, Shivananda Sain, Sri Ramananda Roy, Sri Sikhi Mahiti, Sri Madhavi Devi, and Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never visited Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out we have no authorized documents stating that these exalted personalities visited Vrindavan, but they all stayed here in Jagannath Puri. And moreover, Gadadhar Pandit, who is considered to be a manifestation of Srimati Radharani, took a vow of Chaitra Sannyas, I'll never leave this place. Radharani is going to take a vow, I'm never going to leave Dwarka. I'm never going to leave Mathura. It's not satisfying if we say that this place is like Dwarka or Mathura. And moreover, our Goswamis, I'm trying to keep this a little short, this part of our discussion, which is some evidences. There's so many evidences. It's a very, very big topic. Our Goswamis, such as Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they describe Tasmin Subhadra Balaram Samyutastam Vaidinodam Purushottam Ovajet. You see what happened. It's a little bit of a story behind this verse. There was this fellow, you may have heard his name, is Gopakumar. And he had a grand adventure. They should make a movie about his life someday. He went to so many different places trying to find, trying to get satisfaction. But wherever he went, he wasn't fully satisfied. And he went to Indralok and Brahmalok and Shivalok and Tapalok and Vaikuntha and Ayodhya, and so many different places. But wherever he went, when he first arrived, he was really excited. This is it. This is the best place. But then after a little while, he wasn't satisfied. And Narad Muni kept coming to him in different places and saying, actually, there's a better place than this. So when he was in Ayodhya, he was very excited. Here is the supreme form of the Lord, it's Ramachandra. But after some time, he was a little unsatisfied again. He noticed that a lot of the devotees there were afraid of Lord Ramachandra. And he didn't feel very satisfied with that. So then he was told, there's a better place. It's called Dwarka, and you should go there. So Gopakumar went there and he was so happy. He saw Krishna in Dwarka. And Krishna was so beautiful and bluish. And sometimes he saw Krishna with two hands playing a flute with cows. Sanatana Goswami says this. But other times he had four arms, and there's all these Brahmins running around. Om Sahasra Sirsa Purusaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat Sabhumyam Visvato Vritya Achyatista Dasangulam. Jiva Mukta Prabhu, what is the meaning of that verse? Briefly, can you say? It's Purusha Shukta, first line. The Supreme Absolute Truth, Om Sahasra Sirsa Purusaha. He has thousands and thousands of heads and thousands of eyes and thousands of arms and... yeah. We like Krishna and Vrindavan with two hands. And so Gopa Kumara wasn't really inspired. He started getting really depressed. He thought, what's wrong with me? I'm in the topmost place with the topmost form of the Lord and I don't feel satisfied. And then one day, as he was walking down past a dark alley, there was a little voice. Psst, hey, come here. And he looked in the alley and there was Narad Muni. He wasn't selling watches or anything, but... he said, come here. And Narad Muni told him, Kintu padesha itamekametam matashrinu shri purushottamakyam ketram tadatrapi vibhatyudure purvam tvaya yad bhuvitristam asti. He said, don't tell this to anyone else here. You'll cause problems. And we should be careful. Why is it that we don't preach about Raghunuga Bhakti? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Why don't we preach about... actually, we do preach about Raghunuga, but in kind of an indirect way. But the reason we don't directly preach about that is because Raghunuga Bhakti is such an intensely personal thing. How can you preach about it? It's a very, very individual thing. Rather, in our line, we preach about things which help us to come to that platform of Raghunuga Bhakti in a natural way, instead of an artificial, imaginative way. So we don't disturb people's moods. People will have certain moods, and certain people will have certain faith in certain shastras and certain conceptions. Some people really like Manasanghita. They do, even devotees I know. They like Manasanghita. And you can't say you're wrong. It's a shastra. Other people like other different shastras. Some people like the Bhagavatam. Some people like Ramayana. They say, well, Krishna's okay, but I can't deal with all the gopis and the wives and too many women. Ramachandra is good. He's only got one wife. I can deal with that. Huh? Some people like Ramlila better than that. There's a lot of Hindus who are like that. So we don't disturb their mind. Krishna says that in the Gita. And here, Narad Muni is also telling Gopa Kumar, don't disturb people here. I'm going to tell you something, but it's secret. Kintupadesham, I have this one, upadesh. This instruction for you, that there's a place, he said, not far from here. But it's a different place, it's not Dwarka. And that place, Matashrinu Shri Purushottam Akyam. It's called Purushottam Chaitra. You've seen that place before on the earth planet. Now Gopa Kumara is in the spiritual world. This is a very interesting point. Many times devotees, they ask us, where is Jagannath Puri in the spiritual world? This is a long discussion. To put it in a simple way, our revered spiritual master, he said that Jagannath Puri is a closed compartment in the spiritual world. That's an interesting statement. It's not enough just to quote your guru. I later was reading in Vishwanath Chakravarti's Sarartha Darshini commentary, and he speaks about a closed compartment in Vrindavan. A compartment, how there's two compartments in Vrindavan. There's Nitya Milan, or eternal union, and there's another compartment of separation in Vrindavan. That compartment of separation, I would suggest, is Jagannath Puri. At least we can say, we can acknowledge that there's this Acharya who's making this point that there is a closed compartment in Vrindavan, a secret compartment. And we don't hear about Nitya Leela of Krishna, the Astakala Leelas of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and the gopis crying in separation. That's not going on in those Nitya Leelas, just as devotees who have studied the Nitya Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Astakala Leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, was given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That all takes place in Navadvip. It's not mentioned anything about Jagannath Puri, because this is a closed compartment there, because we don't like to think of separation with the Lord. We don't want to meditate on that. But the Lord relishes that. So anyway, back to my point. Narad Muni tells Gopal Kumar, Kintupadesham hitamekamitam. There's another place, not far from here. Matashinushi Purushottam Akyam. That's Purushottam Ketra. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham is in the spiritual world. Gopal Kumar realized this. Sanatana Goswami has revealed this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then he told him what he'll find there. Tasmin Subhadra Balaram Samyutas Tamvaidinodham Purushottamo Bhajat. He said there in that place you'll find Subhadra, Balaram, and Jagannath. And then he said you'll also find three other things. Chakresa Gobardhana Brinda Katavi Kalinda Jatiri Bhuvi Swayamiyam. You'll also find the Vrindavan forest, Govardhan Hill, and the Jamuna River. The Purusha Bodhani Shruti of the Atharva Veda describes Yatta Bhargavi Jamuna, Govardhana Ratna Samasana, Bhimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha. Then in Jagannath Puri, you'll find the Bhargavi River, just as in Braj, the Jamuna makes kind of a loop almost around Braj. She's so happy to be in Braj. She goes around Vrindavan. So, in Sri Ketra, there's a river called the Bhargavi, which also makes a loop around Sri Ketra, around Jagannath Puri Dham. And that Bhargavi River is non-different from the Jamuna. And Govardhana Ratna Samasana, the Ratna Singhasana that Lord Jagannath sits on, that's non-different from Govardhan Hill. We also say Chatak Parvat is a manifestation of Govardhan Hill. And then the devotees may say, but where are the gopis? We want gopis. Bhimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha. That here in Jagannath Puri, the 16 gopis of Braj, which means the Astasakis and the Astamanjaris, those 16 gopis of Braj are manifested in Jagannath Puri by 16 different Shaktis headed by Goddess Bhimala Devi. And that alone is another long discussion, which I don't even want to go into right now, it's too much. But there are many different pramanas and different literatures speaking about how this place is Gupta Vrindavan. The Vaishnava Tantra describes Mathura, Dwaraka, Leela, Yat Koroti, Tagokule, Nilachala, Stata, Krishna, Sta Eva, Rachati, Prabhu. That whatever pastimes, Mathura, Dwaraka, Leela, Yat Koroti, Tagokule, whatever pastimes Krishna manifested in Gokul Vrindavan, in Mathura and Dwarka, Nilachala Stita Krishna, Sta Eva Rachati Prabhu. All those pastimes are also present in Jagannath Puri Dham. Sanatana Goswami describes this a little further. Shri Krishna Devasya Siddha Priyam Tat Ketram Yata Shri Mathura Tataiva Tat Paramaishvarya Bada Prakasha Lokanusari Vyavahara Ramyam. He says that just as Braj is very, very dear to Krishna, so also is Jagannath Puri very, very dear. It's just as dear to the Lord. And he says, but this place, Tat Param Aishvarya, not just someone was saying something about Aishvarya, there's great Aishvarya in this place. This is Tat Param Aishvarya, the supreme opulence in this place. Vrindavan Dham is known as Madhurjamoyi Dham. It's a place of sweetness. Navadvip Dham is Odarjamayi Dham, the place of munificence. And what is Jagannath Puri Dham? This is a place of great opulence. Jagannath doesn't live in the Jagannath Mandir. That temple is known as the Sri Mandir. It's named after his wife. Thank you very much. The place of very great opulence. And here, Lord Jagannath wears his sunavesh. He has solid gold hands and gold feet. And it's all very much opulence. But also here, there's three things. You'll find there's great opulence, but where opulence generally, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, said that Aishvarya Priti Sankochita, that opulence makes love shrink. In Jagannath Puri, it's the opposite. In Jagannath Puri, it's like Kurukshetra. When the gopis and Radharani saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, and Krishna was on a golden chariot, and there were so many elephants, and there were so many soldiers, and there's so much astonishing opulence, greater opulence than the opulence of Indra. When the gopis saw that, their love didn't shrink. Their love increased. And they said, hey, we don't want to see you here. We want you in Vrindavan. And this is the mood of Jagannath Puri. There's great opulence here. There's great opposites in this place. But that opulence increases the love. So there's opulence, but there's also great mercy. Jagannath is known as Petit Pavan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Petit Pavan. And we see the deliverance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here. We see the deliverance of Maharaj Prataparudra. And so many devotees. This is a place of great mercy and compassion also. The Chaitanya Bhagavat we were speaking earlier today, it says even if you're eating fish in this place, you get the benefit of eating Havishya. If you sleep here, you get the benefit of being in Samadhi. If you lay down, you get the benefit of doing Dandavats. Every step you take, you get the benefit of circumambulating all the holy places. It's a place of great, great mercy. And I could tell you other things, which some of which are so amazing, better we don't speak about it. It's a place of great mercy. And there's a third quality here also. And Sanatana Goswami reveals this in this verse. He says, Paramaishvarya, Bara Prakasha, Bara means great, Prakasha, it's manifested that Paramaishvarya, that great opulence here. And then he says, Lokanusari Vyavahara Ramyam. It's also Ramyam, it's also a very, very sweet place. Here in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath wears his Bada Sringara Vesh, the great dress of Sringara Rasa. And this red dress that you see with the little white dots on it, I don't have it with me. I should have brought down. Is Krishna Kundaran somewhere? No. All right. This is called the Gita Govinda Kandua. I have one upstairs in our room. A prasadam one some panda gave me. This is a dress that Lord Jagannath wears. It has verses from the Gita Govinda written on it. That's pretty rasik. And one of the names of Lord Jagannath is Gita Govinda Thakur. So many, many pramanas that we could say in this regard. So Jagannath Puri Dham is a place of separation. Jagannath Puri Dham is Vrindavan, but it's not Vrindavan. If it was Vrindavan, if you saw a sign that said Radhakund 2 miles this way, then you wouldn't need to go back to Vrindavan. You just stay here. Because this is Vrindavan. But there's no sign, and you don't see that. But we do find something here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, he saw the Vrindavan forest. He saw Krishna playing his flute. When he saw Chatak Parvat, he saw Govardhan Hill, and he saw Radha and Krishna in a cave. He saw the ocean as a Jamuna. And in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that some of the devotees, they saw the Jamuna here. They saw the Vrindavan forest at Gundicha. Similarly, in Skanda Purana, Lord Shiva did his meditation. Somebody here went to Raghurajpur a few days ago. Right near Raghurajpur is a place called Chandanpur. And there's an ancient deity there called Kapoteshwar Mahadev, who is said to be from Satya Yuga. And that deity of Lord Shiva, he was meditating there. And it's a long story, but he, according to Skanda Purana, he saw Vrindavan manifested in this place. So it's Vrindavan, but it's not Vrindavan. It's a place where devotees cry in separation from Vrindavan. It's a place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us how to do bhajan, the separation of Vrindavan, how to attain Vrindavan. So, I'd like to see the time.
5:20.
Okay, so I have a little over half an hour. I'd like now to tell you a story. A story that many of you have heard before. Dhanadhar Maharaj, he's told me every few years he comes to me and says, Madhav Nandi, you haven't told the story of 3 logs of wood in a few years. You should tell it again. I'd like to tell you that story. Some of you have heard this. Many of you perhaps have heard this, or maybe you've read this. I'd like to repeat it again. It's a very, very dear story to me. I had the good fortune to be present the first three times this story was ever told, to my knowledge, in the West. And that was in 1994, first in New York, then in Los Angeles, and then later in London. Gorgha Vindamarsh, my revered spiritual master, spoke this. The story is said to come from a very rare book, which our Fakir Mohan Prabhu worked very hard for many, many years to find. That book was written by a devotee named Kanai Kuntia. In the Gambhir today, we said a few words about Kanai Kuntia and mentioned how his place was just there near the Gambhir. Kanai Kuntia was the head priest in the Jagannath Mandir at the time of Maharaj Prataparudra. And Kanai Kuntia wrote a book called Mahabhav Prakash, which Fakir Mahabhu managed to find one chapter of. And that particular chapter has some verses missing and some words missing, but still he printed it. We have a copy in our library, in our Rhea script. And that book, at the beginning of the book, it says that Kanai Kuntia says, I heard these things in the Gambhira from Ramananda Roy. It's a pretty good source. And Kanai Kuntia himself is a very good source. And the book is about the manifestation of the Lord known as Mahabhav Prakash. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a form like that, sometimes a form of great ecstasy. So, Gorgha Vindamarsh told the story, which indicates something about the form of Lord Jagannath. Now we know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he wrote a wonderful drama about Lord Jagannath, and he told one particular story, which as far as I understand, he got a lot of from Gorgha Vindamarsh also. And there's actually three different stories we know about the origin of Jagannath. One is when he met, Visvavasu, that farmer of pigs, he met the representative Maharaj Indrajumna. And it's a long story how Indrajumna Maharaj built the temple here and installed the deities of Jagannath. There's another story which took place in Dwarka with the Mahabhav Prakash when Jagannath appeared before the queens in Dwarka. That's another story we could maybe tell a little later. And there's this third story which I'd like to tell you this afternoon. So this is very dear to me because I was present the first three times the story was told. And I was in Mayapur when it was told in 1996, but I wasn't present. But that time was the time when Gorgha Vindamarsh left his body. He was telling his story. And later I heard from some local tradition here in Puri, they say that if someone is a real devotee and really have bhakti, they can't speak this story without leaving their body. I don't know. But anyway, that happened to him. It was a very amazing thing. So, Krishna promises in the Gita, Yayatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamya. I always reciprocate with my devotees. So we know that Krishna left Vrindavan. And we know that the gopis were plunged into an ocean of separation. And they were suffering so much. But we don't know very much about is the feelings of Krishna in Vrindavan, in Mathura and Dwarka. And our acharyas, especially Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and in this particular story, speak something about the feelings of separation that Krishna was feeling for the gopis. One day, there was a meeting amongst some of the queens. And Rukmini, she was telling Satyabhama and Jambavati, and some of the other queens, what's going on with our husband? We're married to him, but you know, at night, when I'm laying in bed next to him, he starts calling out the name of some other woman. He starts calling out, Gopi, Gopi, Radhe, Radhe. And sometimes when he's calling like that, he starts pulling on my underclothes. I don't know who this other lady is. And sometimes when he's speaking like that, Krishna begins to cry. and his pillow becomes soaking wet. So Rukmini said, I don't know. Who is this Radhe? Who is this Gopi? What's going on? They were speaking like that amongst themselves. And Krishna, his feelings of separation were increasing day by day until one day it finally became too much. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes, Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. The devotees in Dwarka who were there were very disturbed. And there was a discussion. Present there in that discussion were Balaram, Subhadra, Narad Muni, and Uddhava. And they began to discuss amongst themselves what's happening to Krishna. And Balaram, he said, I know the problem. Krishna's feeling separation from the Brijbasis. So what can we do? Narad Muni, he said, I know the medicine. If I sing some Brajlila Kahani with my veena, if I sing some songs about the pastimes of Braj, then Krishna will definitely regain external consciousness. We'll do it. Narad Muni said, but you don't understand. If I do it now, then Krishna is going to immediately want to return to Vrindavan. But he said, what's the problem? You call for Krishna's chariot. Call for Daruka, his chariot driver. Fix him up and they'll take Krishna to Vrindavan. Narad Muni said, that's not the problem. The problem is the condition of the residents of Vrindavan, separation from Krishna. They're suffering so badly. If Krishna goes there now and sees them in this condition, I can't say what will happen to Krishna. Someone has to go ahead of Krishna to give a message. So the devotees said, Uddhava, you should go. When Krishna was in Mathura, he sent you with a message of love to the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. You should go and tell them that Krishna is returning. And Uddhava, he shook his head. He said, I can't go. They won't believe me. Previously, he said, when I went there, I offered so many words of solace. I tried even to preach to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. I told them, why are you crying? Don't you know that Krishna is not really your son? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all-pervading the Antaryami. He's everywhere. There's no question of separation from him. Don't you know? And Nanda Maharaj became very annoyed with me. I said, what are you, crazy? Our Gopal is Krishna? Because you see, Uddhava, he's a Brihaspati Sishya, a disciple of Brihaspati. He's a Gyani Bhakta. He's used to pacifying people. And Gorga Vinamaraj would say that usually he'd tell people, don't cry, it's okay, everything's all right. But in this case, he didn't know what to do. Because everyone should cry for Krishna. But how can he pacify Nanda and Yashoda? He felt like telling them, cry more, cry more. And he wasn't able to pacify them, whatever he told them. Don't you know Krishna is actually God? Don't cry for him. He's at present everywhere. He's not really your son. Whatever I told them just made them more agitated. And Anamaraj told me, he said, you're crazy. How can you say our Gopal is Bhagavan? Uddhava, in our house, we worship Narayan. Narayan is Bhagavan. They have a deity of Narayan. Who's the pujari? His name is Madhu Mangal. We have a deity of Narayan in our house. We know Narayan. Narayan is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he says is eternal truth. But our Gopal, sometimes he tells lies. Our Gopal, sometimes he's a chore. He's a thief. Sometimes he steals makkhan. Whereas Lord Narayan, is Atmaram and Abdakam. He's completely self-satisfied. Our Gopal starts crying sometimes when he wants his mother. He wants his mother's breast. How can you say that our Gopal is Narayan? We know who Narayan is. Nonsense. And Uddhava told them, I tried to pacify them. I tried to pacify the gopis. But nothing worked. So I finally told them, don't worry. When I go back to Mathura, I'm going to tell Krishna he should return. Krishna's coming very soon. So if I go back there now, after so long, so many years after I was there, they'll just say, Uddhava, you're a liar. You already told us before Krishna was returning. So I can't go. So then the devotee said, Balaram, you should go. Balaram also was previously sent by Krishna from Dwarka with a message to the Brijbasis and to the gopis. And he danced with his gopis and Braj. And he met with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So Balaram, you should go. You're the perfect messenger. And Balaram, he hung his head down. And he said, I also can't go. Why not? And Balaram said that I saw that there was nothing I could tell them. They only wanted Krishna. They didn't want my words. They didn't want messages from Krishna. They wanted Krishna. So I saw nothing I could do would help. I saw they weren't going to live. So I told them, don't worry. Krishna is going to return very soon. When I go back to Dwarka, I'm going to tell him he should return. And Krishna, Balaram, he said, when I returned to Dwarka, I told Krishna, hey, you have to return now. They're going to die. And Krishna said, I'm Krishna Purabhaja. I'm Dauji. I'm Krishna's elder brother. I get so much respect from Krishna. Krishna does what I tell him. But this time, Krishna wouldn't listen to me. He didn't say anything. And he didn't return to Vrindavan. And if I go there now without Krishna, they also won't believe me. I can't go. So everyone was quiet for a moment. And then Subhadra stepped forward and she said, I'll go. She said, everyone knows that men are very crooked, but ladies are very straight and simple. They'll believe me. And I'll go and I'll sit on the lap of Mother Yashoda and I'll wipe away her tears. And I'll tell her, Mom, Krishna's coming. He's coming. He's just now on his way. Some king stopped him on the way. They're offering some worship and some foodstuffs to him. But he's coming. So everyone said, yes, very good. You should do it. So they arranged for Padmadvaj. Padmadvaj is the chariot, Subhadra. And Arjun is the driver. He's a very obedient husband. And Subhadra went to get on her chariot. When Balaram saw that, he became very agitated. He said, I'm also going. And so they called for Taladvaj. Taladvaj is a chariot of Lord Balaram. And Balaram got in his chariot and he went ahead of the sister. And the two of them went racing like the wind, going back to Vrindavan. And when they arrived on the outskirts of Vrindavan, they were so excited. It had been so many, many years since they'd met the residents of Vrindavan. And Balaram and Subhadra jumped off their chariots and they went running to meet their friends, their parents. But then they saw the residents of Vrindavan. Some say that Mother Yashoda was still standing in the road in the same place where she last saw Krishna on Akura's chariot leaving Vrindavan. And she was just standing there like a statue, just crying for so many years, waiting for her dear son to return. And they say that Mother Yashoda, who is famous for cooking so many wonderful things, now her stove was full of cobwebs. Because there's no reason to cook if Krishna's not in Vrindavan. And all the residents of Vrindavan were suffering separation. All the cows, the cowherd boys, all the deer in the forest, the birds in the sky, and even the trees and the plants were withering up and dying. Govardhan Hill was shrinking even faster. And the Jamuna River was also losing water and going down. And the gopis. Raghavendra Maharaj said that the gopis had stopped eating and taking bath after Krishna left Vrindavan. And they became so thin that the rings on their little fingers became bracelets on their wrists. And so Balaram and Subhadra returned to that vision. And when they saw the condition of the residents of Vrindavan, and that condition is not like something we may think in a material way, like the American prisoners during the Vietnam War, what some of them looked like, saw how thin they were and how much they were suffering. It's not a material thing like that. The condition of the residents of Vrindavan is a manifestation of their divine ecstasy of love for Krishna. And that love is so powerful. It moved the heart of Balaram and Subhadra. And something happened to them. They became stunned. And they couldn't move. And then their hands and legs shrunk inside of their body. And their eyes became very big. And a very big smile came on their face. And they were just stunned. Standing there. And that form is known as the Mahabhav Prakash, or the form of great ecstasy. So there was no message given. Balaram and Subhadra weren't able to say anything to anyone. Meanwhile, back in Dwarka, Narad Muni picked up his veena and he began to play some songs about the pastimes of Vrindavan.
Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Janma Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Janma Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya
When Narad Muni sung like this, Krishna, suddenly his eyes opened. And he jumped up to his feet. And immediately, Krishna's hand went to his belt. And he started searching. And Krishna looked a little confused. He said, where's my vamsi? Where's my flute? Those gopis must have stolen it again. And then Krishna looked around. He said, Uddhava, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? Narad Muni, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? And they had to tell him, Krishna, you're not in Vrindavan. You left Vrindavan. And when Krishna heard that, then he began to cry, I must return. I must return. I must return. Yes, yes, Daruka's here. Nandi Ghosh is here, your chariot. And so Krishna began to walk to his chariot. But this may come as a shock to some of you who are very strict about following four regulated principles. Please forgive me. But Krishna was drunk. I'm sorry. But not an ordinary liquor. Krishna was intoxicated with a wine known as Radha Madhuri, thinking of Srimati Radharani. And because of that intoxicated condition, Krishna couldn't walk straight. And he was swaying back and forth, like this, as he was going out to his chariot. Would you like to see that? Anybody would like to see that? Raise your hand. I would like to see that. Come to Jagannath Puri at the time of the Rath Yatra and see the Pahandi when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple. He's swaying back and forth, just like this, because he's intoxicated. He's thinking so much about Radharani, he can't even walk straight. And so they put him on that chariot, Nandi Ghosh, and he begins to go like the wind back to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani was feeling so much separation from Krishna. She'd gone to a secluded kunj in the place known as Niduvan, which today is found not far from the temple of Radharaman. And Radharani was feeling so much acute pangs of separation from Krishna. We would call it Vipralamba Jvara, or the fever of separation. And Radharani was dying. She was laying on the with her head on the lap of Lalita, while Vishakha was fanning her and crying. And word very quickly spread throughout Vrindavan that Vrindavaneshwari Radha, she's going to die. And so one by one, all the Brijbasis, when they heard the news, everyone started crying. And everyone started coming to Nidivan. And they were falling at the feet of Radha and begging her, oh Radha, please don't go, don't go. Chandravali came there. Chandravali, Rupa Goswami and Lalita Madhav says that Chandravali is the cousin of Srimati Radharani. And they have some resemblance to each other. And it's because of that that Krishna has so much affection for her. Chandravali, she came there. And when she saw Radharani's fever and how she was unconscious, lying in a dying condition, Chandravali began crying and she fell at the feet of Radha. And clutching those feet to her chest, Chandravali began to pray, Radhe, don't go. She said, sometimes people say that I'm a competitor for you. But it's not true. You have no competition. Only sometimes Krishna wants to see your loving sulkiness called man. And to relish that loving angry mood, Krishna comes to my kunj. But really, Krishna only loves you. Radha, don't go. Don't leave us. Also at that time, Kutila came there. Very crooked lady. Kutila is the daughter of Jatila. And Kutila is the sister of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radha. And Kutila came there and she said, Radha, don't go. She said, so many times I criticized you. I declared to everyone that you were asati, that you were unchaste, because you were going to see that black snake Krishna. And you were being unfaithful to your husband Abhimanyu. And I was always trying to expose your meetings with Krishna. But Radha, you showed us that you were truly chaste once in Vrindavan. Krishna had a fever. And everyone in Vrindavan became disturbed, and everyone was doing what they could, calling doctors, things. And Krishna said, there's no doctor, there's no medicine which will heal my fever. There's only one medicine that will work. And that is, if someone brings me a pot of water from the Jamuna. But that pot of water has to be a pot that has 1,000 holes in it. And the woman who carries that pot should be supremely chaste. And if she's really chaste, not one drop will come out of the pot. So when all the ladies in Braj heard about that, they became a little shy. But I was very proud. And I said, I'm a chaste lady. I'll do this thing, you see. And I went to the Jamuna and I took that pot and I filled it up with water and I put it on my head. And all the water came out. And I became drenching wet. And everyone laughed at me. And then Radha, you stepped forward. And you quietly said, let me try. And I said, you? You? Who are always going with this Krishna? How are you a chaste woman? And Radha, you went to the Jamuna. You took that pot. You filled it with water. And you said one word. Govinda. You put that pot on your head. And not one drop came out. And you showed that you were the supremely chaste lady in all of Braj. Oh, Radha. I've committed such an offense to you. Please forgive me. And Kutila began crying, falling at the feet of Radha. And then Abhimanyu came. And Abhimanyu was also crying. Abhimanyu is also known as Ayan Ghosh. It's a very long story behind their marriage and how that worked. Abhimanyu came there and he said, some people say that I'm your husband. But I never touched you. You see, actually, Ayan Ghosh is Krishna's maternal uncle. It's a long story. It's found in the Brahmanda Purana. But on one occasion, when Purnamasi made some arrangement for Radharani to be married to Abhimanyu, Krishna came. Because he's also invited to the ceremony. And Krishna said, uncle, I want to ride in your lap. And so when the procession was going to Barsana to get Radharani, Krishna sat on the lap of Abhimanyu. But when Krishna sat on Abhimanyu's lap, something happened to him. I'm a little shy to explain what happened in a mixed company here, but to try to put it in a polite way, his male equipment disappeared on the day of his wedding. And anyway, it's a long story. But Abhimanyu, after that, he never came near Radharani because he was very, very embarrassed. He didn't have the equipment. And so Abhimanyu, he was crying. Hey, Radhe, please don't go. People say that I'm your husband, but I've never touched you. Abhimanyu is actually, it's a long story in Brahmanda Purana, but he's a manifestation of Krishna. He's considered to be Krishna's shadow. Otherwise, who could marry Radharani? Only Krishna could do that. So in this way, all the residents of Vrindavan were coming there, crying and crying and begging Radharani, don't go. But Radharani was dying. She was unconscious, just laying there, oblivious to all the prayers and the words of all the devotees. And then suddenly, everyone there could hear a sound coming closer. The sound of the wheels of a chariot. And then Nandi Ghosh, Krishna's chariot, arrived. And Krishna jumped off the chariot. He was so excited and so eager to meet his Pranavallabha Radha, his dearmost Radha. But when Krishna jumped off the chariot and he saw the condition of Srimati Radharani, something happened to him. Because again, Radharani's condition is not like the stomach problems devotees have been having here for the last few days. It's not a material bodily condition. But that condition was a manifestation of her divine love for Krishna. And when Krishna saw that, he became overwhelmed with emotion. And Krishna became stunned. He couldn't move. And he stood there. And an amazing thing happened. His arms and his legs shrunk inside of his body. And his eyes became very big. And a big smile came on his face. Do you see him? And he manifested the form of Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath. And then there was Milan. There was union between Radha and Krishna. But Radharani is lying in a dying condition and Krishna is standing there like this. So Vrinda Devi was very expert in arranging everything in Vrindavan. She called for a nice breeze. And that wind carried the fragrance of Krishna's body to the nostrils of Radharani. At the same time, Lalita whispered in Radharani's ear, and she said, Krishna's returned. Krishna's returned. And Radharani's eyes suddenly opened. And Vishakha, she knew the medicine for Krishna. She went and whispered in Krishna's ear, Radhe, Radhe. And then Krishna came back to external consciousness. And Bhogavinda Maharaj, when he told this story, he said at that time, there was eye-to-eye union between Radha and Krishna. And then Krishna told Srimati Radharani, to commemorate this pastime, I'll always keep this form of Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath in Puri, and we'll have a strange meeting in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath is known as Radha Viraha Vidura Roop. He's the embodiment of separation from Srimati Radharani. And he's here in Jagannath Puri. It's a very long discussion. We wrote some article about this in our magazine called The Hidden Identity of Lord Jagannath. If you say, you Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and I know you say this, I've heard you say it many times, if you say that Jagannath is Vrindavan Bihari Krishna, then where's Radha? I don't see Radha on the altar with Jagannath. And if there's no Radha there, then how can it be Vrindavan Krishna? It's not possible. We did research on that for nearly 20 years. And we found some very secret mantras and things about the deity of Jagannath that even many of the pandas don't know. And we wrote some article, and Radharani is there. It's a little hard to explain. But Jagannath, on the inside, Radha is there. But on the outside, Jagannath is there. Krishna is there. He's Radha Viraha Vidura Roop. He's the embodiment of separation from Radha. And they have a strange meeting here in Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu He's Krishna, but he's in the mood of Radha. Krishna's on the inside and Radha's on the outside. And he's Krishna Viraha Viduragu. He's the embodiment of the last limit, as I think as Narahari Chakravarti says, he's Bhakti Naipunya, the last limit of Bhakti. The last limit of Bhakti can have a form. That form is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's the embodiment of separation from Srimati Radharani. And these two embodiments of separation, separation from Radha in the form of Jagannath, and separation from Krishna in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have a strange meeting here in Jagannath Puri Dham, which therefore is known as Vipralamba Ketra, or the place of separation. It's Gupta Vrindavan, a hidden chamber of Vrindavan, where the devotees cry in separation from Vrindavan. But those persons who have the smarta vichara we've been speaking about the last few days, they don't see that. They just see the Aishvarya part of Lord Jagannath. They just see the Sri Mandir and the Panchatirthas and Sweta Ganga and Indradumna Sarovar and those places and the ocean, and they see the rituals and the external things. But those persons who have the Goswami vichara, the consideration given by our six Goswamis, they see this thing. They understand the meaning of Ratha Yatra, the meaning of the form of Lord Jagannath, and the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in coming to this very, very mysterious place. Sri Chaitanya Jagannath Puri Dham ki
jai.
Sri Madhuja Rasagana Iti Murti Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath Swami ki
jai.
Sri Prem Purushottam Sachinandana Gaura Hari ki
jai.
Prem
Anandini Hari.
So, Hare Krishna. I wonder if any of the devotees have any questions or comments. Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. I like you very nicely explained like this. Jagannath Puri Dham is not different from Vrindavan, especially the point if Lord Chaitanya is relishing Srimati Radharani's bhava and Swarup Damodar and other dear associates of Lord Chaitanya did not leave the Jagannath Puri for Vrindavan, it proves that this is Vrindavan. In all the evidence, especially this pastime, Mahabhav Prakash, that with Mahabhav form, he cannot leave here without it having Vrindavan. So Prabhuji, I just want to understand, like when you were telling the story of Gop Kumar and Narad Muni asked him to go to Purushottam Kshetra, and Uddhav said, don't go there. From there, no one goes to Vrindavan. And he didn't go there. He came back to earthly planet and to Vrindavan. From here, he left for Vrindavan. Just want to understand it.
Very interesting question. It's also said in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Gopa Kumar was going back and forth between Nitya Vrindavan and Boma Vrindavan here. And sometimes he could tell the difference. And sometimes he couldn't tell the difference. There are many, many mysterious things about Jagannath Puri Dham. There are many sadhus who do their sadhana in this way. They begin doing their bhajan in Mayapur, Navadvipa. And then they come to Jagannath Puri for some time. And then they go to Vrindavan. And they do bhajan in Vrindavan. And then they come back again to Jagannath Puri. And again they do bhajan here for some time. And then, in the end, they go back to Vrindavan and they never return. So perhaps their bhajan has something to do with this question you're asking. I haven't seen any direct comments about that. One comment I can make is that in the spiritual world, it's very difficult to have a place of separation. It's not natural there, because there's no separation. It just says there's no demons there. But we know that Boma Vrindavan is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. And also this Jagannath Puri Dham is non-different from that realm of Puri in the spiritual world. But here, there's separation. And there, Prabhupada, he once said, there's no demons in the spiritual world. He said, but there's rumors about them. There may be some rumors And I've heard some other explanations. That's another big subject. It may have something with that. That's all right. So do you have any other thoughts?
The same thought I was having.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, this is Maru Mango Prabhu. And he's the temple president in Gurgaon. A very nice devotee, very nice kirtaniya, and he's going to be very upset with me. I'm saying nice things about him. But we're very happy to have Maru Mango Prabhu with us. He's a very thoughtful person. Anything else from anybody? Our time's up, so. Yes? Speak loudly. I have, my hearing's a little poor. Anna, what is she saying?
As a sadhaka, what should be our prayer to Lord Jagannath?
As a sadhaka, what should our prayers be to Lord Jagannath? Well, we can offer these prayers of Jagannath Ashtakam, which speak about how Jagannath is Krishna. And when we offer these prayers, we can offer them in a mood to try to bring pleasure to the Lord. But even better than that, we offer these prayers in a way to help bring pleasure to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our kirtan. We've learned kirtan from Sri Damodar Goswami and Roy Ramananda. Sri Damodar Goswami, it said, Hari Parsha Prabhu, he wrote a book once called Sangeet Damodar. Prabhupada mentions it in one purport. I don't think that book exists. Have you ever heard of that book? Huh? It's a book about music. We would like very much to find that book. Because Sri Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi. And he is the greatest musician. He knew how to please the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His singing, his bhajan, and he's teaching us how to do bhajan, was meant for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu. So similarly, our bhajan, what is it? I'm going to sing for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm going to go to the Gambira and say, excuse me, Sri Damodar, are you finished? So I can sing now, it's my turn. Get out of the way. Am I going to do that? I can't do that. Who am I? Who is Sri Damodar Goswami? But I have another thing that I can do. I can sing for the pleasure of my Gurudev. And Gurudev, he gets pleasure from that. I want to speak something more about this tomorrow evening in our last talk. Okay? Any final comments or anything from anybody? So thank you all very much. It's always a very special thing for me to be able to share this particular katha. It's very close to our heart. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Premanande
Hari Go.
Pancha Prabhupada Rudra Chan.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. How many times have you heard this before?
Much too long ago. Thank you. Sorry I missed the Gambira. No, I'm really sorry.
Just a quick question. Was I injured? Did he get me there? Or something like that?
Do you know what happened?
No.
I was kind of stunned for a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.